Agun Erev Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we are approaching Shabbos Parashas Chaye Sarah. Chaye Sarah. The life of Sarah Imenu. The life of Sarah Imenu is not actually recounted much in this week's Parasha. And everybody knows that. It's an old question. It's Parashas Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. But Sarah's life apparently ends at the end of last week's parsha. Why would it be called Parshas Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah? Very strange. Parshas Chaye Sarah. I'm curious if anybody ever thought about this. Unfortunately, I was once by a funeral. This week I was by a levaya of an exceptional, exceptional person, or Baruch Kagan. I spoke to my class about him. He was really a real gadol. He was a gadol. He was not rabbi. He was not harav. He was Baruch Kagan. And he was a gadol in menucha. I think that's right. He was a gadol in menucha. I'm not saying he was a gadol in simcha, because when people say a gadol in simcha, you're expecting like joy that just is jumping. He was a gadol in menucha. Baruch Kagan was my brother's father-in-law. And yet, I felt, like many felt, that he was like my best friend. I felt very, very close with him. And I remember meeting him for the first time. I told my class, I remember meeting for the first time. My brother got engaged. You ever met him? My brother got engaged, and I didn't know anything about him. My brother got engaged, I think, during the summer. And I came back from camp to go to the Vart. The L'chaim was his in-law's house. And I went in, and he was there. He was like leaning over a little bit. I didn't know why. He's leaning over. He was older a little bit. He wasn't really too old. And I remember shaking his hand, and I remember feeling something in his hand. Like it was a strange handshake. I was very a little disturbed. I was 17 years old. And afterwards, it was explained to me that when he was 37 years old, he had a stroke. 37. He was an accountant, a very successful accountant. In an accounting firm. He was a robust person. He would go on long walks. And he had a stroke at the age of 37. And he never healed. And at the time, the doctors told the family not to expect much. It was a major stroke. He had been in the hospital for some time. Don't expect much. And yet, Baruch Kagan, not only did he live exactly 37 more years. Not only did he live exactly 37 more years to the month, he died 37 years to the month later. Not only that, he was learning Maseches Zvachim that night with his Chavrusa, and of course he was Nifter learning, when he's learning in Daf Yomi right now, he's learning Maseches Zvachim. Not only all of that, 37, he had one life of 37 years and a life post his stroke of 37 years, but he was full of menucha at all times. Menucha to the point that when you met him, he was the most positive person in the room. You knew that you had a best friend the first time you met him, and everyone felt that way. My chavrusa, now this is my chavrusa, who has a relationship with me, my brother, my brother's wife's father. My chavrusa called me up the night that he heard he was nifter, and said, was it him? You know, maybe it was a different Baruch Kagan. Was it him? I said, yes. My Chavrusa tells me, he said he felt like his best friend died. My Chavrusa, to my brother, to his wife, to her father. He was just full of menucha, positivity. He was a person who genuinely cared about you. He lived right over here on 18th NNO. His brother, who's 8 years older than him, spoke by the Levaya. His brother's name is Ronnie. His brother Ronnie got up to speak by the Levaya, and he said, who's going to tell me now that I'm doing the wrong thing by not going to Daven Shacharis and Shul? Ronnie said, he's 8 years older than Ronnie is 82 years old. It's hard for him sometimes to go to Shul. And his younger brother, who survived 37 years of the stroke, couldn't move much, would complain to him, how come you're not in Shul? When his younger brother, Shacharis, Mincha, Meiriv, every single day. He went to a shul that was a block away from his house. It took him 20 minutes. He had to make two stops on the way to shul. And every single Shachris, Mincha, Meiriv, Baruch Kagan was in shul. And every time he went to shul, everyone in shul was his best friend. They all loved him. Imagine a person like that with positivity. 37 years of a stroke. He never got better. And builds a family that's a family full of joy. A family, please. A family of menucha, positivity. I wish that one day I would be able to leave a world where everyone just felt like their best friend. No, I don't want to leave, but I feel like that type of thing. Baruch Kagan, Yi Zicher Baruch. I was by a different Levaya once. I was by a Levaya. A great uncle of mine was Nifter. The Levaya was in Queens. And it was like an old cemetery in Queens. And I remember it was a Jewish cemetery. And there was a sign on the side for those people who are interested in cremation. Cremation, the body would be burned to ash. There is a mausoleum there. A place to store ash of your dearly departed. And it's a Jewish cemetery. My great uncle, who had passed away at the time, was a Holocaust survivor, went to Mauthausen, Gunskirchen, these terrible concentration camps, where people were killed and burned. And there's a Jewish cemetery, obviously not so Jewish, a cemetery of Jews, which is offering cremation. The bodies will be burned to ash and put into a vase and stuck into a wall somewhere. Or sometimes they take the ash and they empty it out. They go wherever their cat uses the bathroom and they empty it out in the same area. Cremation? Burning bodies? What's so bad about cremation? Why are Jews so against it? Real. Why is the Torah against it? Why is it so important? This expiration, Parashas Chayei Sara, starts off with Avraham going out of his way to spend millions of dollars to purchase Ma'ariz HaMachpelah in order to bury Sarah Imenu. Why is that so important? How much? You know, it was 400 talents of silver. Do the calculations, it comes out to it's possibly 1 million silver coins. How in the world? There's a Parsha Yisrael. Why is this so focused on Avraham Avinu spending a huge amount of, and by the way, till this day, one of the most expensive purchases a Jew might make is a plot in a cemetery. I remember, it's not too funny, but I once went with my wife to my father's caver in Eretz Yisrael. He's buried right next to Har Menuchos. And I went there, and me and my wife were there. It was my wife's first time there, I think, at that time. And we're standing in the cemetery, and I said to her, look down. She's standing in an open spot near my father's grave. And I told her, I said, you know that spot? She said, I said, that's your spot. That's hers. You know, my father bought us. He bought me and my brother and our wives. He bought us plots. And I told my wife, I said that. She didn't think it was very funny. But it's perhaps one of the most expensive things that a person ends up buying. How is Zaysim now? If a person wants to buy a garage, we're talking millions of dollars. To be able to buy a spot. Why do we spend so much money on it? Why did Avraham Avinu spend millions of dollars from Ma'ariz HaMachpelah? Why in the world? Ever think about that? Start a parsha, talks about buying a cemetery. they say the difference between Hasidim and Litvaks. I'm a Litvak, okay? It's like we're a little dark and depressing. Like we're a little down, not this much. Like I talk all about cemeteries for no reason. I mean, half of my shmuz already is all about cemeteries and death and Leviathan. Okay, I get it. Maybe it's a good point. But why is it talking about it? And the answer is, and usually I don't say the answer, but the answer is because Avraham Avinu was using the life of Sarah to educate the world with one last message about Sarah Imenu. She had spent 100 years, 20 years, 7 years of her life. Kulan Shavin Latayva. She has spent her whole life, perhaps even more than Avraham Avinu. Perhaps she was frumer than Avraham himself. We know that her nevuah was ascended higher than Avram Avinu. Perhaps greater than Avram Avinu, she spent 127 years, but her message wasn't done. Avram Avinu used her. Avram Avinu had her express one more message. And that message is that when you deposit in this world is a body, and guess what? He's coming back. That body is coming back. What you put in the ground is just a pikadon. It's only put there temporarily. Avram Avinu said, this body, Sarah Imenu, is coming back. And if she's coming back, it's worth spending the money to find her a place so that when she comes back, she'll be able to be here with us. What happens when a person is cremated, chas v'shalom, by the Nazis? That's not what we're talking about here. When a person says, I don't care about my body, just, there was a very famous playwright. I don't even say his name, but a very famous playwright. He left in his will, one of the things he wants to do is he wants them to take his body and throw it off a boat. He wants to be like they did to Osama. They want to take his body, bring him out to sea, and throw him off the boat. Just empty the body. You know, to give his wife some credit, she ignored the entire will, and she buried him in some cemetery in Long Island. But we are coming back. You've got something in you, a neshama tahira, a pure and halakha neshama. You've got that in you, and it's here forever. Now, when something is here forever, Ksari Yemenu, she's coming back, something's here forever, you got to make sure you treat it right. You know, if you have something for a few days, let's say you know it's not going to be around, okay, so you make it dirty, you ruin it, person's staying in an apartment, and you know you're only staying in that apartment for a few days, the place is a mess. The place is a mess. It happens. But when you know that this is going to be your house for a long, long time, oh, don't scratch the walls. Don't break the table. I need this stuff. It's all going to be around. Your neshama is going to be around forever. And the exposure that your neshama is going to have now, it's going to be stuck there. To expose your neshama to something, the things that perhaps you look at, chas v'shalom, that we might see, the things that we might be doing, the things they might be saying, the way people treat us, the way we treat other people. That's your neshama. It's not temporary. It's here for a very, very long time. It's going to be coming back. It's hard for us to think. The word is to think prudently. P-R-U-D-E-N-T. Prudent. To think prudently. To think prudently means I'm thinking for the long term. I'm not just thinking for right now. One of my dear friends handed me this. Of course, he doesn't know. Of course, I don't know how anywhere this got it from. But a box of Marlboro cigarettes. Marlboro cigarettes. It's not from the United States, as you might see. It has Spanish on it. It says, Fumar causa cancer de pulmón, which apparently means smoking causes cancer. And then it shows a picture of some lady. See the lady? See? She has a ventilation pipe that goes straight into her throat. And she has a feeding tube that's in her mouth. Yeah, she has a feeding tube. And there she is. And she looks really, really, really sick. And then on the back, it says about all the things that it causes. It causes cancer for a person's stomach, cancer for a person's pancreas, cancer, a lot of cancer. A lot of cancer. And you look at this and you're thinking, how does anybody even buy the cigarette? You saw this is what this caused. I'm smoking this and it causes cancer. And the Mexican cartels figured out how to put this on their boxes in the United States. From what I understand, they don't have this on their boxes. You know, of course, we know why they don't have it on their boxes, because they'd lose business. Because that 0.00001% of people who will look at it won't do it. Most people wouldn't care, I think. My father, Zecherem Livracha, was in Sloan Kettering. Memorial Sloan Kettering. It's a really horrible place. It's a place that focuses totally on cancer. My sister was once there. She's a funny lady. And she was once in the elevator there. And it's a very glum place, except for one floor. One floor is the pediatric ward, which you think would be the saddest place. But that pediatric ward is totally dominated by Camp Simcha. And because of that, everyone who works on that floor is Jewish. And it's the only place in the hospital that's full of joy. But otherwise, you go into the elevator, it's depressing. Every floor is depressing. It's cancer, the whole hospital. So my sister is in this elevator, and she's there, and everyone, and she says out loud, "This is so depressing. This hospital needs a maternity ward. That's what it needs. It needs babies being born here. This is a depressing place." Sloan Kettering, Memorial Sloan Kettering, is a depressing place. You should never have to go there. It's depressing. It's horrible. It's not geshmak a place to be. And there are people there, I saw them myself, being treated for lung cancer. Lung cancer. And you know what? These people are given an opportunity to go take a walk around the hospital. I saw them. They take a walk around the hospital. They go with a nurse or a doctor, and they're walking like this. But they're only holding something with their right arm. In their other hand, you know what they have? A cigarette. They're in the hospital for lung cancer. And they're only allowed to take one walk around the building. In their right hand, they're holding a pole. In their left hand, they're holding a cigarette. Doctors in that hospital lean on the hospital wall, smoking cigarettes leaning on a hospital wall. Doctors, they didn't see this picture? They didn't see it? I was talking to somebody. This person was choking. He was choking. He was finding it hard. A few days ago, I was talking to him. He's choking. So I told him, "You know why you're choking?" So he said, "Because the food I'm eating doesn't go down my throat." And I said, "No, that's not why you're choking. You're choking because you vape." So he said, "What does vaping have to do with choking?" It's not true. Vaping causes choking. It hardens the inside of a person's esophagus. Things don't go down. I can assure you that's not an exciting experience. This past Pesach, as most people know, I was in Florida. I ate the tiniest, tiniest piece of a hot dog. Got stuck in my throat. It wouldn't go down for 19 hours. 19 hours. I had to go to the hospital and get an endoscopy, emergency surgery on my throat to push it down. I had a condition. I don't vape. I never did. Never smoked in my life. Never drank. Baruch Hashem. But I had a condition. It's called EOE. And I never knew that I had this condition. I take medication for it now. But a person volunteers to even have just one of these conditions. Can't swallow things. Imagine looking at this and you see me as I get general anesthetic going into that procedure as they stick something down my throat and hope I don't end up like a person I know who went in for a procedure just like that and never came out. We think it's not going to happen to me. I look at this. See this? See? Does she look happy? Smoking, vaping. And that's just our body. We're talking about our neshama. We're talking about our neshama. Sara Imenu. A genius Talmud of mine was telling me a vart I should say in this parasha. He asked the Shaila. You ready for the Shaila? What's pshat that the cigarette boxes in Mexico have it on their boxes, but the cigarette boxes in the United States don't have their boxes? Good Shiloh. Tuk Toysis. What's pshat? Once again, listen to Shiloh. What's pshat? The cigarette boxes in Mexico have this picture of cancer. The cigarette boxes in America don't have the picture of the lady with cancer. What's pshat? And he had a tifa pshat. Listen to this, Musa. Ready? I have two ways of saying it. One way of saying it is because it's to teach you that if you look far away, far away, you'll see all the answers. All the answers to things, but up close, it's very hard to see the things. Oh, like the Chafetz Chaim used to say, there's a group of people, they die. Some people die from things. I'm not part of that group. The cat, the group of shtarobiners, the people who die. Oh, they die. Gestarbeners. The people die. I don't die. Those people die. Over here, what are you going to do? It's far away. Another way of saying it is a very famous line. Hayroitza l'shaker. A person wants to lie. Yarchik edusay. You testify about something far away. You'll never be able to verify. Also, in Mexico, they die from cancer. Over here, they use healthy cancer sticks. I mean, cigarettes. They use healthy ones. It's far away. You have to go all the way to Playa del Carmen to be able to look in a store and see, oh, cancer does kill. Smoking does cause cancer that kills. Vaping makes it. Why can't I run up and down the basketball court? Because I got a problem. Why can't I be a good father? Why can't I be a good husband? Was it because my neshama looked at too much? Am I going to be able to go into my house and marry my gorgeous wife and be thinking about my gorgeous wife? Am I going to be able to think about her if I have all those other things that I've seen all over on my phone? Am I going to be able to focus on her? Am I going to be able to have a healthy relationship with her? Am I going to be able to be patient with my children? If all day, every day, I don't know how to communicate anymore, because my only way of communicating is in one word at a time, T-Y, I can't say thank you, that I don't know how to do anymore. So I come home to my wife, I say T-Y, T-T-Y-L, that's what I say to my wife, yeah? I tell my wife that I can't eat that anymore because that's O-D. That's what I'm going to tell my wife. That's what I'm going to tell her. I lack communication skills. What's going to be my excuse why I lack communication skills? Your neshama is going to be around for a long, long time. Sarah Yemenu, that was her last message to us. Her very last message is, Tchias HaMesim is happening. Your neshama lasts forever. It's coming back. It's worth spending $1 million on a plot to bury someone, because you're coming back and you better make sure you're clean until you get back. Once it's dirty, it's hard to clean off. It's not impossible. But the more dirt that gets in, the harder it gets to clean. Protect yourselves now. Bez Hashem, everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos. Everyone should have happiness and health, delicious challah, zmiras, simchas, nachas.